Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Funnel Hacker Radio. I'm your host, Dave Woodward. Today, you guys are in for a treat. You have the opportunity of hearing from Megan Smith Gill, who is the author of Give a Shift and the founder and creator of Give a Shift Academy. Megan, welcome.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
This is exciting. We were just talking about, we met at Genius Network, Joe Polish's event. Again, Joe's a dear friend of both of ours.
Yeah.
And actually, was kind of going through some of your pictures. I think I saw a picture of you with Keith Yackey and Nick Kusmich and other friends as well.
Yeah.
So it's always it's always a lot of fun having you on. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to really talk to our community.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here with you, and it was amazing seeing you at our last Genius Network meeting, and we have a lot of mutual in common, that's for sure, and I'm really excited to talk to all of your listeners today.
Well, aside from being an amazing author and creator and marketer, you also are a fellow ClickFunnels member, so it's always nice when I have someone on who's actually using our product, but most importantly, really want to make sure people kind of understand a little bit about you and what Give a Shift is all about. So if you don't mind, just take a few minutes and help people understand what Give a Shift is, and then we'll talk more about how you're actually using it in your business and everything else.
Yeah, you bet. So most of you, at least in the Genius Network and other mastermind communities that we belong to, know me as the owner of a marketing agency, and I've been in the marketing space for the past 15 years. And I still own that agency, and it's a great business, and I love marketing. I mean, that's what drew me to Joe's Genius Network in the beginning, in the first place. But about a year and a half ago, I reached a point in my life where I sort of was looking for more meaning and purpose in my life. Owning an agency is great, and I'm grateful for it. But I found myself, Dave, working harder and longer to try to achieve more. And I had a warped idea, I believe, in hindsight, looking back at what success meant. And, as the victim of horrific bullying back in middle school, I developed a me versus the rest of the world mentality. And so my way of sort of proving to myself that I was worth something, frankly, was to achieve material success. And so I found myself competing at everything I did from middle school on. I wanted to be the best at everything. I needed to win at everything. And I thought that my accumulation of material success would finally be the answer that I was looking for, and it would really sort of wipe out the pain that I had experienced all those years ago, pain that I buried so deep down inside that I really wasn't even aware that it was still my driving force. So I had this intensely competitive nature. And what happened was about a year and a half ago, I found myself for my whole life, I found myself setting goals and meeting those goals and then setting higher end goals and meeting those goals. And while that is good and we all want to meet and achieve our goals, my intent with each of these goals, Dave, was that I would finally feel self-validation, right? I would reclaim the self-worth that had been stripped away from me years ago. But what happened was, every time I succeeded, that success would vanish just as quickly as it came. It was fleeting. And, I say now, again, everything is crystal clear in hindsight, that success gained on the competitive plane of existence is fleeting. It's not lasting. It doesn't really exist. And so just as quickly as it came, it would leave, and I would find myself lacking, lacking time, with those I loved, lacking time, lacking purpose and meaning in my life as I just kept chasing these exterior goals to try to mask the hurt that I had been burying for so long. So about a year and a half ago, I really started to open up these wounds, and I allowed myself to question the path that I was on in my intense quest to achieve outward, external successes. And it was on this path of self-discovery, which, by the way, began as a very, very personal journey, so personal that I didn't really even share it with my husband at the time. I just knew deep down inside, Dave, that there had to be more in life. The success in business, we're all business people, we're all entrepreneurs, we want to succeed, and that's great. I stand behind that. I love, being an entrepreneur. I love being surrounded by entrepreneurs, but it's not just about chasing the dollar. The dollar, for me, used to be the end rather than a means to the end, the means to something much bigger, much more powerful. And so I started to question my purpose in life, my meaning in life, and what I was really put on earth to do. And it was that journey, which we can dive in, but rather than me just keep rambling, it was really that journey of self-transformation that led to the creation of my current Give a Shift process, which is the exact process I used to transform my life from one of lack and limitation to one of more abundance than I ever dreamed possible.
Well, I know that a lot of entrepreneurs kind of go through some of the similar type of feelings that you've had. I think a lot of us have this idea as far as, you know, I'm going to prove it to everybody else. And I think a lot of us are driven by that the desire to make sure everyone else sees, hey, listen, you know what, I can become successful. I know I've got this in me, and I want to make that happen. So I definitely see that, understand that for sure, Megan. I'm sure you've seen that as well as a lot of the entrepreneurs you've coached.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what I found is that the term bullying is really misleading. See, when I address a group of people and I have an audience and I ask them in the beginning to raise their hand if they've ever been bullied, really a small percentage raises their hands, maybe 10-15% of people. But what I then describe as bullying is really a much broader term than one is led to believe. We all think it is in the sense that I was bullied, which is the middle school peer-to-peer bullying. But if we step back and think about what bullying means, which is that someone else has tried to make someone else, another human being, feel less than, or tried to control another human being, and in doing so has blemished their self-worth and their self-confidence, then we can look at bullying in a much broader term, right? So I've seen along my life coaches bully athletes, right? And many people can relate to that.
Oh, sure.
I see parents bullying children, pushing them around and really, you know, putting them into a box and really blemishing, again, their self-worth. And I've seen spouses bully each other and girlfriends bully each other, employees bully employees. So that when we frame it that way, and then I re-ask the question, how many people can relate to an experience of pain where someone else has tried to make you feel less than or try to keep you down? I get nearly 100% of respondents raise their hand. And so when that happens to someone at whatever point along their life that happens, we get that sort of competitive edge. It's sort of like, you know what, I'm going to show you, right? It's that me versus the world or that I'm going to show you mentality. And, you know, to be honest with you, Dave, that is definitely the case with so many entrepreneurs. So many entrepreneurs go into business. Yes, they love what they do, just like I love marketing, and that's why I started the agency. But it was really to prove to others and myself that I could do it. There was this competitive need to show and to prove myself to the world, and again, to sort of reclaim the confidence that had been stripped away. And that, you're right, is prevalent amongst the entrepreneurial community for sure.
So how do you actually, as an entrepreneur, I mean, obviously, at least I know in my own life, part of that has actually been a driving force that has helped me achieve some of that success that I've had. But how do you also use that and to your advantage, I guess? What's the best way of using the negative things you've had in your past, basically, to actually help build you and help make sure that your business is as rock solid as possible?
Yeah, and that's a great point, and that's what I had to learn along the way, and that was part of my journey. See, something else that most people are led to believe are what I call life's five biggest bullshit. Now, we are led to believe these at various points in our life, and some people are made to believe them to greater degrees than others, and these bullshit consist of five myths that shape so many of our lives. And bullshit number one is the belief that life is handed to you and there's nothing you can do about it. So that was the belief that I had and that many other people have. I sort of just felt that life was the result of good or bad luck, and I got dealt a crappy hand of cards in life. And the only way to overcome that was with pure drive and pure passion and pure refusal to lose at anything I did. So I see so many people walking around their lives believing that life is just sort of handed to them and there's nothing they can do about it. Most people don't even try to do anything about it. In the entrepreneurial world, we just try to use our sheer grit and grind to try to overcome the deck of cards that we think has been handed to us. Bullshit number two is that, again, to get anything in life, you have to compete fiercely for it because we believe that we're all vying for this our share of a finite and small pie that exists out in the world. And I know that that's what I did. And especially in an environment like a marketing agency out here on the East Coast, it's quite cutthroat. And, you know, we're all competing for the same pitch. We're all competing for the same clients. And if one agency wins and another loses, it's as if, you know, there's less of that pie available for us. Bullshift number three is that we shouldn't ask for our more than our fair share in life because there isn't enough to go around. So, you know, tell me if you can relate to this, but it coupled with our innate desire to achieve and win, especially as entrepreneurs, we also have this nagging feeling that, gosh, am I somehow being selfish or greedy because I want more in life? You know, as if when we win, we're taking something away from someone else. You know, my parents ingrained that in my brain from an early on, as if, you know, the universe is sort of this set of resources and whatever's here is here. And we've all got to share the resources because there isn't enough to go around. So that was a very limiting belief. And that was always in direct conflict to my desire to achieve and win and grow. So I found myself really in a quagmire of belief systems, which led me down the path of destruction that I ultimately found myself on. Bullshift number four is that our thoughts really have no bearing on our reality. And I don't know how many listeners out there believe that. Maybe I'm in the minority there, but for my whole life, I thought as long as I act properly on the outside, then it matters very little what I think on the inside. And so when you operate from the competitive plane of existence, what sort of feelings do you find yourself having? Often they're feelings of envy and jealousy, right? And so you find yourself doing the right thing on the outside and smiling and acting politely, but you have these burning feelings of envy and jealousy on the inside. And those are really, really poisonous. And in fact, the thoughts are much more powerful than the actions themselves. And bullshift number five, which is sort of a silly one, but it's one that I find a lot of people live in, even if they don't admit it, is the curse of the jinx. And so, again, as entrepreneurs who have gone through some type of struggle, who are doing everything they can to achieve and win, we still have that blemished self-confidence. And so we don't really allow ourselves to envision ourselves as abundant, successful, happy people. We sort of set ourselves up for disappointment so that when the disappointment happens, we say, see, I told you so. But what we don't understand at the time is that the belief that the good thing won't happen is what actually prevents it from happening in the first place. So I had to, in order to heal and go from sacrifice and lack to abundance and affluence, I had to replace each of those bullshifts with what I call a universal truth. In order to heal and put the pieces back together, it's sort of like Humpty Dumpty, right? Before you can put the pieces back together, you've got to lift the fog from your eyes and replace these limiting beliefs with the universal truth. And each time you do, it's like a shackle has been broken off your wrist. At least that was the experience for me. It was like each time I was able to bust one of those bullshifts, it's like the light became brighter, the fog started lifting, and I could see clearly now to a whole new world of possibilities that I didn't even know existed before. And then I was able to create the system that I used to transform my life, that I still use every single day, and that I teach to people all over the country to do the same.
That's fantastic. Well, Megan, I know that one of the things, whenever you come across as a basically are taking your personal experiences like you've done and are going out and creating, again, an amazing book and a program, everything else. One of the things we look at from a marketing angle is this more of a soft topic or of a hard topic? And anytime you start, you know, dealing on some of the thoughts or the emotional things, people always assume that's more of a soft topic. And how do you sell a soft topic versus a hard, you know, hard topic being something that's physical that I can actually, you know, touch and move and position? As a marketer, what have been some of the things that you've been using to actually market and sell Give a Shift?
Well, I definitely am relying on ClickFunnels as my way of reaching, millions of people potentially. So, which is a breath of fresh air to me because, again, going back to my traditional agency, the agency model is one of client and agency, and so you can't really scale that model. Each time you have a new client, especially a big one, you need to hire new resources. And so GiveAShift and all of the products off of the GiveAShift brand have really enabled me to dive in and utilize the capabilities of a system like ClickFunnels in order to reach the people who are going through something similar that I went through, give them a practical solution that is filled with a step-by-step guide for helping people transform their lives. You know, see, Dave, I believe in more than just information. A lot of people out there, a lot of experts, a lot of how-to experts claim to know the secrets of how to do XYZ. And while I am a fan and a proponent and a student of many of those people, what I found during my journey and what I think separates my products from others is that I took all of that information but then had to figure out what to do with it. What do you do with the information once you have it? So many of us close a book or listen to a podcast or go to a seminar and we feel so jazzed up about the content that was delivered, but we don't know how to apply it to our own lives. And so I created a step-by-step guide, something that I call your first 30 days, your 30-day Kickstarter program, because in those 30 days, we're really trying to rewire our brain. And then I created something called your daily life guide, which is days 31 through the rest of your life. And so I need to be able to reach people and give them more than just information. And I need to reach people who are looking for what I was looking for at the time. And so ClickFunnels has really been able to help me integrate my products. And I have various products depending on what stage of the journey the consumer is in, whether they are just still in the fog and they're looking for some clarity. And so they can opt in to learn more about how to lift the fog from my opt-in funnel. I have my free plus shipping book funnel. I really believe in the power of using the book as a way of opening people's eyes rather than it being, the source of the thing I'm going to earn the biggest living on. And while, of course, we all want to make money on that, it's my way of serving and really, again, showing people that they have another way, that there is something else for them to do, not just consider, but do, and give them the steps to lead their life in a whole new way so that they can acquire all the things they want in life and they can create the abundance that they seek in their lives. I also believe in the power of webinars. Webinars have been a great learning tool for me. And so to give back to the community, I've created a free webinar training. For those people that want to take a deeper dive with me, I have an online course. And so ClickFunnels has been the way that I could bridge my desire to serve and reach the people that need it most and are looking for the transformation that I know that they seek deep down, but they may not even know it's possible, or they may not feel worthy of, or they have the information, but they're just not sure what to do. And so, honestly, ClickFunnels has been a godsend for me in order to scale that information and reach the masses.
Well, again, obviously, we love the plug for ClickFunnels. I think it's really cool, though. I mean, you've been a marketer for literally 15 plus years now, and so you kind of go through this like it's no big deal. But I think it's really cool how you basically talk. You have a free plus shipping funnel, which I assume basically also leads into a webinar funnel, and then you have a high end coaching course on the back end as well. So, from my perspective, I look at it. Everyone always talks about what's the one funnel that's working for you. And I think the part I love about what you do, Megan, is I refer to it as funnel stacking, where you basically you've got this first funnel on the front end that brings them in, but then you immediately transition them right into, from the free plus shipping, you transition them into funnel stacking into the webinar funnel. And then from the webinar funnel, so what are you selling on the webinar then? Is your high-end coaching?
Yeah, well, on the webinar, it's my online course, which will then lead to the application for the high-end coaching. But you're right, the funnel stacking is key. So for anyone out there listening who has a single funnel, I would encourage you to stack your funnels. Or if you have multiple funnels, here's the other thing. A lot of people thought I was nuts when I said I was not going to launch anything with GiveAShift until all three of my funnels were built and launched at the same time. Because like you, I believe in the power of funnel stacking. You have to give people the option to enter the journey with you any point along the path that they're ready. And it's not for me to say when and if they're ready. You know, some people need to dip their toes in. And so the opt-in funnel with the infographic, the free download infographic, may be where they need to start. Other people may be more familiar with my work and be ready to go right into the free plus shipping book funnel and upgrade to my journal and my audiobook. Other people may be really ready for the webinar and then the online course. So I have the funnels stacked because I think it's very important, just like when you date someone, you have to go out on the first date and then you progress to the next date and then somewhere along the line you live together and then you get engaged and you get married. Very seldomly do you just run off to Vegas and elope, although some people do that, which is why you can still jump into my high-end coaching if we haven't dated before. I have no problem with that. But it's just not going to be the majority of people. People need to have options. And so I am a firm believer that the funnels work best when they work together and they support one another. So something that I've seen other people do, and I would encourage your listeners to try to avoid or perhaps rethink this if this is the path that they've been down, is, again, create one funnel at a time. I know it's more work. My team thought I was crazy when I said, look, we're not launching until we have all of these together so that there's not a dead end for people. People want to keep going with you. We have to give them the opportunity to keep going, right? That was very important to me. The other mistake that I see people make is that they have multiple funnels saved, but they don't feed off of each other. It's almost like they're in their own silos. And so when that happens, just like with any marketing effort, I believe you get marketing fragmentation. And that leads to confusion in the marketplace. And buyers and consumers, frankly, don't know where to go and what to choose. And it's not intuitive for them to proceed from one funnel to the next. It requires work on their part. And as a marketer, that's something we want to try to avoid. We don't want the buyer to have to try to find us or try to figure out where to go next or work to go deeper with us or worse, want to go deeper and reach a dead end.
I love that. Oh my gosh, that is such great advice. And I think you're right. And again, I know you've seen it with your clients in the past, and we run across it all the time where you do have these marketing silos where people have no idea where to go next. And I think, again, right. I love what you've done literally from whether it starts off at the infographic and the opt-in, from there if it goes into free plus shipping offer for the book or to the webinar for the and then ends up at the high-end coaching. The great thing is you can start anywhere in there to create your first one, but the key is to have some vision where you want to take these people. And I know for myself, I'm sure you've seen it in your business, once a person falls in love with you, they want to keep spending money with you. And I think the biggest problem most of us make is you stop creating products, allowing people to spend more and more money with you. And I know I've seen your marketing goes literally from free, I guess it's one, the dating analogy, all the way to marriage and everything else after that. So I think it's
and
really, really cool.
That's right. Yeah.
You start creating this whole legacy.
Yeah, that's right. You know, when people fall in love with you, they want to hold your hand and stay with you for the duration. They don't want to go and try to find somebody else to satisfy their needs. They're comfortable with you. And so, even if you start out small and you launch, one of your early stage funnels, you have to do it, at least have the products thought out in your mind about where you're going to go next and get those other funnels into creation as soon as possible. Because if someone is in that buying mentality and they reach a dead end with you, they sort of lose their steam. And even if then, even if they don't go and find someone else to date at that moment in time, they're kind of annoyed with you. They don't necessarily, they might give you the cold shoulder. You sort of had your chance with them. And so you want to make sure as a marketer that you're constantly feeding the need for people to go deeper with you if they so choose.
I love it. Well, Megan, I know you've got a lot going on today, and I just wanted to, again, give you an opportunity here as we kind of get close to wrapping things up. Any additional advice you want to give people or how they can get a copy of your book or get involved in your funnels? What would be the next step for them?
Yeah, that would be great. They can reach me at giveashift.live is the landing page for all of my funnels. So from there, they can jump into any of the funnels and go through it from a business standpoint to see how I've set it up. They can go through it if they're interested in personal growth and achieving abundance in their life. I would love for them to do that as well. They can email me at megan@megansmithgill.com with any questions or comments. I'd love to chat with anyone in the audience. I'm so grateful that you had me on and for those listeners out there that have stayed with us for the duration of the podcast, I'm super grateful. And if there's anything I can do to support you in either your business or personal journey, I'm here to support that.
Well, Megan, thank you so very much. Again, I appreciate your time today. And I really appreciate, again, all that you give to so many people. So thank you for having such an abundant mindset. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'll see you soon at Genius Network.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.